It was the disciples who asked Jesus to teach them to pray, not the tax collectors and sinners. Nevertheless, Christ included in the Lord's Prayer this petition, "And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." For even disciples, even we who are baptized children of God, daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. Though, thanks be to God, our sins are not counted against us for Jesus' sake, we still remain sinners in this earthly life. And thus, it is necessary for us believers to acknowledge our sins and our need for forgiveness. As sinners living in a fallen world, we are indeed prone to temptation. In the first place, we remain in this world among people, other sinners. They sin against us. They mislead us into sin. Simply by living among other sinners, we have ample opportunity for disobedience, anger, lust, greed, gossip, envy, and other wicked sins. But in the second place, the devil continues to prowl around us like a roaring lion. He has little need to attack the unbeliever who is already in his camp. So he devotes most of his attention to you, the believer, in order to mislead you away from God your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ into false belief and despair. The devil's goal is to drag you down to hell. And so he attacks from every side. He fights against all that you pray for in this Lord's Prayer. With such fierce enemies, the devil, the world, and even our own sinful natures, harassing us and leading us astray, it's no wonder that Christ our Lord included a petition for forgiveness for his Christians to pray. For here we see another example of our Lord knowing our greatest need, even before we ask for it. Sin is destructive, not only between us and others, and us and God, but it also destroys our consciences. The Christian's conscience becomes restless on account of sin. It's troubled by the knowledge of the sins which we commit every single day. For Christians know what is right, and yet Christians struggle to do it. And so when the Christian has a troubled conscience, his willingness to pray suffers on that account. Sin robs you of the boldness and confidence with which your Father in heaven invites you to pray. Because of sin, the Christian loses the certainty of God's promise to hear and answer prayer. Sin is a dangerous thing indeed. But let this petition, given by the Lord Jesus himself, serve as the foundation for your bold and confident prayer. Jesus himself has commanded you to pray in this way. Knowing your weakness, he included a petition for the forgiveness of your trespasses so that you would have no doubts that your prayers and God's willingness to hear and answer them are not based on your worthiness, not based on your works, but by his grace and his grace alone. For it is by grace alone that God has done all things for you, chiefly in sending his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to pay for the sins of the whole world with his precious blood on the cross. We were not worthy of his death. We did not deserve his mercy. But Christ died for you and for all people by grace alone. And so our Lord can pray for those who crucified him, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he can say to the criminal who is crucified next to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." If Jesus can even pray for the forgiveness of those who are putting him to death, if he can say to a robber who deserved death on the cross that he would be in heaven that very day, then it must be by grace alone that we are saved. It must be apart from works. And so by grace alone, through faith alone, you too can be confident that God is gracious to forgive you all your sins and gracious to hear all your prayers. Moreover, God's gracious forgiveness is extended to you not just once, not just at your baptism, but daily and richly. In fact, forgiveness in Christ is the Christian's life. It is the reality in which the Christian lives and moves and has his being. Forgiveness is not just the first step to life and salvation. Rather, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. And so everything in the Christian church is ordered toward this goal, the goal of receiving forgiveness of sins through the word and sacraments to comfort and to encourage troubled consciences as long as you live here on earth. And likewise, this petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses," remains at the heart and center of your daily prayer life. And Christians who have been graciously reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus cannot help but forgive their fellow sinners. We heard an example of this already this evening. David, upon praying for the Lord's forgiveness for his sin, then declared, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." David had sinned greatly against God, yet he was forgiven. And so also he would teach sinners God's merciful ways by forgiving them. Likewise, the Lord did not omit this from his prayer, but included, "As we forgive those who trespass against us," in the petition asking for the Father's forgiveness for the sinner. Just as we daily sin much against God, and yet he forgives everything through his grace, so we too forgive our neighbor who sins against us in any way. Indeed, God commands this of you, Christians, that you must forgive those who trespass against you. But more than that, God attaches a comforting promise to your forgiveness. He says, "Forgive and you will be forgiven. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." To be sure, this does not mean that your forgiveness earns God's forgiveness. For God forgives you freely and without condition, by his grace alone. But God has attached this sign of your forgiveness of others to the petition as a sign, to console you and to encourage you as you hear God's promise of forgiveness for you. And so when you pray, remember God's promise. Think, "Dear Father, for this reason I pray to you to forgive me. Not that I can earn it from you or deserve it by my works. No, I pray because you have promised and attached the seal to this prayer, that I should be as sure about it as though I had absolution pronounced by you yourself." As God has given you this sign, the forgiveness of your neighbor's sin for Jesus' sake, to comfort your conscience and to strengthen you as you pray in every circumstance. And so as you have God's forgiveness for all your sins, given by grace alone through the death of Jesus Christ our Lord, you also forgive those who sin every day. Though you daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment, God daily and richly forgives you all your sins. By grace alone, apart from works, you are a Christian. You are made a child of God and an heir of the kingdom of heaven. And so, by the work of the Holy Spirit, you are even now being conformed to be like Jesus. You are most like Christ when you forgive those who trespass against you. And thus we pray, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." By grace alone, God does. By the working of the Holy Spirit, we do too. In Jesus' name.